She turns 21 a couple of weeks, 2 weeks, and I've got four. Josh is the oldest. He turns 24 next week, and you've got I've got Emmanuel, who's 18, and Kayla, who's 15. Yeah, four kids. I guess with three young adults in the house and one teenage daughter to go, you know, when they're young, they're sort of manageable. I'm not saying they're not manageable now, but I'm sure those of you who are parents and your child goes through the teenage phase, I read a story about this mom who had a rebellious son. It wasn't my mom, but it could be my mom as well. And the mom said, you don't ever listen. You don't ever obey to what I say. So one day, mom just got up and said to the son, you know what? Do whatever you want. Try and disobey that. The title of today's sermon is A Life of Surrender. And we're going to look into Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. Now, for those of you who don't know, for those of you who are old enough, you remember the Sunday school song, Father Abraham? Had many sons had Father Abraham. And I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right hand, then left hand, left, right leg, then left leg. But the text we're going to look at is the sacrifice of Isaac. So it's a bit of a departure from a Sunday school Father Abraham figure to a dad who's about to take his son's life. Now, a bit of context. So Abraham, to the Jews, he's a revered man. He was known as the father of faith. In James chapter 2, he was referred to as the friend of God. In Hebrews 11, he was known as one of the giants of faith. But Abraham wasn't a perfect man. He was caught out lying twice in the Old Testament. He didn't believe God's promise to him when God said that he would father, he'll be the father of nations, and he would have obviously you have to start with a child. But he was childless. Both him and his wife were well beyond their years. So instead of waiting for God's promise, they decided to shortcut the whole process and have a child through one of Sarah, who's Abraham's wife's slave, Hagar. And as a result, Ishmael was born. Now, this was recorded in Genesis 16. Five chapters later, or about 14 years later, Isaac was born. So God actually did deliver on his promise to Abraham. And the meaning of the name Isaac is joy. And there's no prizes for guessing as to why Abraham named Isaac joy. Because Isaac was a gift to Abraham. Now we do have parents who yearn for children and can't have children. And it's similar to the case of Abraham and Sarah. So when Isaac was born, that's why it's a gift. And that's why they called him Isaac. So that's the context. Now the text for today is in Genesis chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 14. So Genesis 2, 1 to 14. Sorry, 22. Yeah. Did I say 32? Okay. Oh, my bad. Okay. So reading from verse 1. Well, Genesis 2 would be the creation story. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son, Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Reading from verse 9. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And this is the word of the Lord. A life of surrender. And looking at the life of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac, I want to divide the sermon into three parts. In the first part, we'll look at why Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, followed by why God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son, and lastly, the perfect sacrifice. So in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes for a moment. You've been childless for many years, and you've been yearning for a son or a child. And then God gives you a son, and you name him Isaac, meaning joy. And years after that, you've watched that child grow, and you've become attached. You're already attached with, you know, at the birth of your son, and yet that attachment grows and grows. And then God says, sacrifice your child, your only son, whom you love. So what was going through Abraham's mind? He waited so many years for a child. And what about the 3-day journey? It wasn't like God said, sacrifice your child. Now, just to put a biblical disclaimer and also a legal disclaimer, God forbade child sacrifice in Deuteronomy. So, yeah, we can't take this out of context. So what was going through Abraham's mind when God asked him to? For the 3 days, it would have been a struggle. And I thought about it, and just picture yourself, or picture the whole situation. Why didn't Isaac resist? I mean, Isaac wasn't like a child per se, as someone who didn't have any understanding. He submissively laid on the altar for his dad to actually take his life. Now, Isaac could have resisted. He was probably old enough. Think about it. 3-day journey. If it was a child, if Isaac was pretty young in today's context, he'd say, are we there yet? No, he just kept going. He was old enough to walk an arduous 3-day journey. Old enough to carry wood. Now, we're not talking about bits and pieces of kindling and firewood to start a campfire, but enough to actually burn a body. And he seemed to have an understanding of the rituals behind burnt offerings, because he asked that, well, where's the sacrifice? So Isaac would have been old enough to resist. I would have resisted if my mom asked me to do my homework when I was young, let alone lay submissively on the altar. What about Abraham? He's beyond years. He's 100-ish, okay? I'm not talking about weight, I'm talking about years. And so he's old enough. I mean, he's more than old enough. He's beyond old. And so Isaac could have easily resisted. Hence, we could safely assume that Isaac submitted to God's will for him and his father. So why did Abraham do it? For those of you who have children, you would know that if God were to say that to you, obviously, rest assured, it's been forbidden in the word and also by law. But why did Abraham agree? Now, the Hebrew word for offering is Allah, meaning to bring up, to let it ascend. As in, that's the Hebrew word for sacrifice. So God was telling Abraham, I want you to bring up your child to me. I want you to offer your gift or my gift to you on the altar. He was to leave God's gift on the altar. But why did Abraham do it? In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Going down to verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Verse 19, and this is key. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. The point is that Abraham believed who God says he is, and therefore he left his gift on the altar. He believed that God could raise Isaac back from the dead. So it wasn't a blind faith per se, because scripture records he reasoned, he thought it through. He knew that, okay, if God is who he says he is, and I believe him, then I'll obey him. That's a life of surrender. And faith is not something that Christians or religious people, you know, live with day by day. Even if you don't have a religious faith, you do live by faith. When you drive a car, you're putting your faith that your mechanic has fixed it up properly. When you go on a plane, you believe that the person that's flying in the cockpit is qualified. And when you go swimming at the beach, you're swimming in faith. I mean, being in the Aussie context, if there are no shark nets, I'm not going to the water. That's my faith level. But you see, we exercise faith every day. But for Abraham, it was a reasonable faith, a reasoned faith. So that's why Abraham did it. Now, the question is, why? Why did God make that demand on Abraham? In verse 1 of Genesis 22, it says that God tested Abraham. That's key. God tested Abraham. Now, when God tests Abraham, it wasn't him setting up Abraham for failure. It was setting him up for success. Sometimes, you know, for those of you who are still going to school or at university, don't think of a test or an exam as an opportunity for you to fail, but an opportunity for you to succeed. So God knew the results of the tests. Abraham didn't. But he knew that Abraham would pass the test. See, the test wasn't so much to prove. The test was more to reveal the idols of Abraham's heart. It's to prove him right as opposed to prove him wrong. Because if that gift of his child becomes his idol, then Abraham would never agree to sacrifice Isaac. Our children can easily become our idols. I wasn't planning to share this, but this only dawned on me probably in the last few days. But it happened a couple of weeks ago. I dropped my 18-year-old son off at a friend's place. And then I knew the dad from uni days. We used to attend the same church. And he shook my hand, it's like long time no see, and then he shook my son's hand, and he said, oh, you're the preacher. And I'm like, What do you mean my son's the preacher? Yeah. I saw the video at Northbridge. I said, oh, hang on. What was he doing at Northbridge? Oh, your son was preaching on Northbridge. And I saw the video. And I looked at him. I said, I didn't know about this. And I said, oh, Dad, do you mean that night I went for dinner with my friends at Northbridge? Yeah. So how did this happen? I said, there was a church doing outreach. And they saw me in this. And I think it was his church, I don't know. And he said, oh, would you like to share a testimony? And then he just took the mic and he started sharing. And I said, can you please send me that video? So I was trying to grapple with the fact that, he's year 12, although he's 18, and he's got his exams now. And it's like, what was he doing in Northbridge on a Saturday night preaching the gospel? And then I saw the video. And the video was about, when I was 16, I had depression and suicidal thoughts. I'm like, whoa, 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 this is all news to me. You know, and I'm not breaching his privacy. It's out there, and people have come up to me and said, we saw this video of your son. And for me, it was the first time I heard it. And I'm like, oh my. And I said to him, why didn't you tell me 2 years ago? And he was like saying, I don't know, but God, Dad, don't worry. God's been looking out for me. And he just walked off. And I'm like, okay. And I had to swallow that. It was so hard. But God was saying, Tim, leave your gift on the altar. Leave your son on the altar. He's a gift. He's not your idol. An idol is something... or someone that you have given ultimate status and value. When a good thing becomes an ultimate thing, as Tim Keller has said, that becomes an idol, that becomes a counterfeit God. Not saying that your children aren't worth anything, or the car that you drive isn't worth anything, or money, or your health, your friends, your family. They're good things, but they're not the ultimate. They're not God. They can't save you. Your career can't save you. And when you grasp that money is just a gift, then money is just money. It doesn't become an idol. They are all gifts that God has given to us. They're meant to be left on the altar. And God allows trials and tribulations to actually prove our hearts to Him. It's not like God is taking things away from us that matter, but He's revealing the idols in our hearts. Are we willing to live a life of surrender and say, God, thank you for these gifts, but you are my ultimate gift? Every form of suffering is a trial to test our faith, to see if we seek the blessings or the blesser. The fact that I'm standing here alive and breathing is a gift of God. That is God's faithfulness. We thank God for our children, our families, our friendship, our health, our wealth, our comfort, but we need to leave them on the altar. St. Augustine once said that our hearts are made for Him and will forever be restless until we rest in Him. So that's why God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. What about the perfect sacrifice? You see, Abraham's test or his sacrifice of Isaac actually foreshadowed the cross. If I go back to Genesis 22 again, and I want you, and we have the benefit of reading this hindsight, post-cross, but Abraham couldn't see it. But if you recall, Jesus said, all the scriptures are about me, and the scriptures are fulfilled in me. And in verse 2, God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you. God took his only son. Jesus was God's begotten son. And that area of Moriah, that mountain, is actually Golgotha, Calvary. So centuries later, after Isaac was about to be sacrificed, Jesus was sacrificed. And in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Jesus carried the wood of his sacrifice, the cross. Verse 12, do not lay a hand on the boy. He said, do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham did not withhold his only son. What about the Father? God the Father. John 3:16, for God so loved us, the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Abraham looked up in verse 13, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. The key word is instead. Jesus is not a model, just a model for us to follow or aspire to. He is our substitute. It was instead of us that was on the cross. He died the death that we deserve, so that we can live the life that he only deserves. He became the substitute. And I like what Pastor Irene shared in the beginning, that God is the one who sanctifies us. I stand on this day sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. I shared before, early January, I was privileged to go to Japan and experience snow. And I remember seeing fresh snow in the morning. I saw the whiteness of the snow, and the word came to me from Isaiah, sins are like scarlet, but he will make it white as snow. That's our joy, and because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And that's why life is worth the living, just because he lives. In verse 14, Abraham said, hold that place, the Lord will provide, and to this day, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So God wasn't just the provider. He's not just our provider, he is the provision. He is the gift. More than the ram, he provided the lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he provided Jesus. We don't have altars this day. In the Old Testament, the altars were places of offerings, of sacrifices, of atonement, of worship. There's only one altar, and that is the cross. Because at the cross, the Lamb of God was slain from the foundations of the earth. And we can leave our lives, our families, our pain, our gain, our tears, our fears, everything and everyone at the foot of the cross, and embrace the ultimate gift, the gift of God's Son in Jesus Christ. And more so when we are suffering, because when we are suffering, God is proving to our hearts that there's more to what this world has to offer. There is my Son. There is my Son. If you think about it, the cross is God's offering of himself to us. And we can't think of the Father punishing the Son, because God is Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, more than Abraham, who has grown attached to Isaac all these years from the beginning of time, in fact, beyond time, for all eternity, the Father and Son have been one in the Spirit. And yet, on the cross, Jesus said, Father, no, not Father, my God, my God. He sensed the abandonment, that breakup, so that we could experience life and life forevermore. Jesus is the gift. I'll share one of my favorite verses, and this is in Romans 8:32. And after this verse, I'll share a song by, well, I won't sing the song, but I'll share a song by Bob Fitts. This was in the late 80s. For those of you who are old enough or who are around, might be familiar. But Romans 8:32, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God's going to give us a precious gift, he's not going to stinge on a wrapping paper. All these things that we have, they're wrapping paper in the eyes of God and in reality. The song by Bob Fitts is called Sacrifice. And I want you to close your eyes as I read the lyrics of this song. And I just want you to imagine Abraham sacrificing Isaac. So it goes something like this. This must be the hardest hill I've ever climbed, for I must sacrifice you, promise, son of mine. And so I go to worship with you by my side and trust the sacrifice he will provide. And though I cherish you, I must now offer you to him who is the giver of all good things. And though I cherish you, I will now offer you, for surely he could raise you up again. Here on this altar, Father, I lay all my dreams and offer back to you this child you've given me. O Son, you must believe he's called us to obey, and by his love he'll make a better way. O Abraham, O Abraham, now that I know you fear my name, withhold your hand. O Abraham, O faithful man, your only son, he's not the one. Behold, a ram. Behold, the lamb. It must have been the hardest thing he'd ever done when God the Father sacrificed his only son. The one that he most cherished gave his life away, and by his love, he made a better way. And so I cherish you, and so I honor you, for truly you are the giver of all good things. And so I cherish you, and so I honor you. Your sacrifice is now the King of Kings. Jehovah Jireh, he has provided the sacrifice of love no man could ever pay. And what he requires of you and me, even the hardest things, your blood, O Christ, your sacrifice gives me strength to obey. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Indeed, worthy is the Lamb. And that is the reason for our worship. Oh, he is the reason for our worship. Father, we come and we want to bring before you our gifts. We bring before you our children, those who have gone astray, and those that we worry about, those who are struggling, we leave them on the altar. We bring before you our health. If our health is failing, or if it's not what it used to be, we leave them on the altar. We bring to you our family, the relations, be it broken or dysfunctional, our marriages, we leave them on the altar. We bring to you our finances, be it debt or otherwise, be it unemployment, retrenchment, we leave them at the altar. And Father, in exchange we receive the greatest gift, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And every time we go through a trial, we thank you for revealing the idols of our heart. And when we are going through a trial, help us to behold the Lamb, to behold the Lamb, and to worship you for the sacrifice of your Son, the blood that washes us white as snow. And we thank you for the resurrection, because it's not pointing us, as much as it's pointing us to future hope, it is the future hope coming to the present. And we thank you for Jesus. All glory to him. Amen.